Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Kuf Tes, and we are 12 lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Ches Amid Beis. So the Gemara is continuing along discussing the topic of Elu She'ein Lem Chelek L'Olam Haba, specifically certain generations that will have no Chelek in Olam Haba. The Dor HaMabul, the Dor HaFloga, the Anshei Sadoim, the Meraglim, the Dor HaMidbar, and the Hadas Kerach. So the primary topic of yesterday's daf was the Dor HaMabul, Parshas Noach. This morning we're going to speak a little bit about the Dor HaFloga, and then we're going to go into a whole daf that talks about the Anshei Sadoim, which, of course, not coincidentally, it's Parshas Vayera, it's all psukim that are mentioned in this week's Parsha. Either way, 12 lines from the bottom. Zok de Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, L'mishpichaseyem yotzu min ha-teva. It says that when the animals left the teva, they left L'mishpichaseyem. Each family left by its own. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, L'mishpichaseyem v'loyhem. You see from there that when the animals were in the teva, they weren't all together. They weren't all eating out of the same trough, but rather they were grouped by mishpachas. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Amar Rav Chana bar Bizna, Amar Eliezer l'shem Rabba. So Rav Chana bar Bizna told the following story, that Eliezer, as in Eliezer Eved Avram, once met the great Shem, as in Shem ben Noach, and he told him, Ksiv, the pasuk says, l'mishpachaseyem yotzu min hateva. So I understand that the animals, they were all congregated together with their families. Atun heichon avyisun. How about you? I don't have a lot of information about you, your brothers, the wives, your father Noach, your mother. Where were you while the Mabul was taking place, for the 12 months that you were in the teva? Amalesa, he told him, if you want me to explain and describe our experience in the teva, I can tell it to you in one line. Tsar gadol hayolanu bateva. It was a tremendous pain while we were in the teva. Bir yeshet arkel achila b'yayim echelon b'yayim. For example, there were certain animals that had to be fed during the day. We fed them during the day. Shadarkel achila b'layla. Animals that had to be fed at night. Echelon b'layla, we would feed them at night. Hayzikisa, there's an animal, it's called the zikisa, lehaviyada abba ma'achla. My father, Noach, he didn't know how to feed it. He didn't know what food he was supposed to eat. Yoy mechad, one day, he was sitting, he was cutting a pomegranate. And as he's cutting the pomegranate, nafal telas mina, a worm came crawling out of the pomegranate. Achla, the zikisa saw the worm, and he jumped on it. So Noach had been feeding him food, he gave him meat, he gave him chicken, he gave him potatoes, nothing. He didn't want anything that Noach gave him. He sees this worm crawling out of the pomegranate, and he jumped after it. He was like, by a kiddush, says the Gemara, mikan ve'elach, from that point on, have a gabal echizra. So what he would do is, he would go out of his way to make worms. So he would take bran, he would soak it in water, and gimaslo. When it became wormy, achla, he would give it to him. He continued, Shem. He said, Aryeh, there was a lion, and again, my father couldn't feed the lion. It was a problem. But what happened was, Ishta Zinse, the lion had a fever, and the fever somehow sustained him. The Omar Rav, because Rav once said, Loi batzer mishita, v'loi tfei mitreisa zayna ishta. If a person has a fever, he can go sometimes somewhere between 6 days and 12 days without eating. He loses his appetite, or maybe it sustains him in some way. But either way, Shem told him, we didn't really know how to take care of the lion, but Hashem made that it should chapa fever, and the fever somehow sustained it. Avarshina, there was another animal, the Avarshina, Ashkechinu Abba, the Gani, Besafta the Tevusa, he was doing his own thing. He was a little introverted in the teva. So the animals were mingling, making conversations, socializing. And this Avrashina is doing his own thing. Amale. So my father went over to him and he told him, like, boss, mezoine, you don't want to eat? Amale. So he told him, I'll be honest with you. Chazisich tahavi trida. I see you have so much on your hand. You're serving so many meals. Amina lo yitzarech. I don't want to cause you tzar. Amale. He told him, yehi rava, I give you a bracha, the way Thomas, that you shouldn't die. Shenema va'omer imkini egva. The chachoil, like the choil, arbe yomim, you should have arichos yomim. Either way, so Eliezer Eved Avram meets Shem ben Noach, and he says, can you describe to me a little bit what it was like to be in the teva? And he said, tsar gadol hayu lanu bateva. And this, of course, is matin with what we spoke about yesterday. We mentioned the Chasam Sofer, that the Chasam Sofer says that when Chazal say that the mishpat of the Dor HaMabul was Yud Beis Chodesh, it wasn't referring to the Dor HaMabul. It was actually referring to Noach and his family. That Noach and his family, al pi the Zohar HaKadosh, they had to be punished for not preventing the Mabul from happening on their level, despite the fact that v'noyach matzachim b'ni Hashem, and Noach was an ish tzadik tamim hayah b'dei roisav, but it was expected and understood for Noach to have done more. He tells through the Gemara Makkos that we're going to learn next week, where the Gemara says that the Kohen Gadol somehow plays a role in the Ritzeach B'Shoigig. Right, the Ritzeach B'Shoigig has to go to Golas until the Kohen Gadol dies. What does the Kohen Gadol have to do with the Ritzeach B'Shoigig? Because if you're the Kohen Gadol, you're the leader, you bear responsibility for everything that happens in your generation. So the Chasam Sofer says, and it's really based on a Zayar, that Noach and his family were somewhat responsible for what happened in the Dor HaMabul. They needed tikkun. Their tikkun was the Yud Beis Chodesh that they spent in the Teva. Either way, that's the Tsar Gadol Hayuranu Bateva. That the Teva was really an implement that was there to save Noach and his family, but also to give them tikkun on the role that they played in the Dor HaMabul. But the Gemara continues. Amar Rab Chanan bar Levi, Amar Hashem Rabba le Eliezer. So Eliezer is debriefing Shem. He's asking him questions. Tell me a little bit about what it was like in the Teva. And now Shem tells Eliezer, you know, I have a question for you. You know, I'm familiar with the war amongst the kings, and Avram Avinu, your master, was able to defeat these kings. How did he do it? So he told him, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Avram, and he sat him next to him. And we, Avram, sounds like maybe Hashem and Eliezer, we would throw offer, we would throw dust, the havi charbe, and they would turn into swords. Gili, we would throw straw, the havi giri, and they would turn into arrows. Shenemar. The pasuk says, "Adavid mizmar num Hashem la doini shavli mini ad oshes oivecho hadoim l'raglecho," which the Gemara is interpreting as "Noum Hashem." Hashem is talking to Adoini, referring to Avram Avinu. He says, "Shavli mini." Sit next to me. Ad oshes oivecha adem l'raglecho. Until we defeat your enemy. Uksiv miheir mi mizrach tzedek yikra'eu l'ragloi. Yitein lefanav goyim u'malachim yerd. Yitein ka'ofar charboi. The offer is going to turn into a cherev. Kakosh nidev kashtoi. Either way, so Eliezer tells Shem, you want to know how we defeated the kings? We defeated the kings miraculously. We didn't do it with guns and knives and swords and tanks. The way we defeated the kings was with offer. We would take offer, we would take straw, we would throw it, and miraculously, somehow that turned into weapons, and that's the way we were able to fight the war. Now the Gemara tells a very well-known story. Nocham ish gamzu, habirokul, the kolav of the salkele, omar gamzu l'toiva, nocham ish gamzu. Whenever something would happen to him, didn't matter how bad it seemed, he would always say Gamzu L'Toyva. Thus, he earned the title of Nocham Ish Gamzu. Says the Gemara, Yei Mechad, but Yisrael HaShadur Derin L'Kesar. Once upon a time, the Yidden wanted to send a present to the Kesar of Rami. Amru. So they said, Behadi Man Neshadah, who should we send it with? And they needed a Shliach, somebody that was going to be the messenger. He's going to go now, he's going to bring the gift to the Kesar of Rami. So they said, Neshadah Behamah Nocham Ish Gamzu. Let's send it with Nocham Ish Gamzu. The Melubit Ben Nisimu, because he's a big Baal Moifes, he's Melubit Ben Nisan, he knows how to read Kvitla. He gives avtochis. He's somebody that we should send it with. He's a greiser rebbe. He's the one that should do it. Says the Gemara, Kimot Allahu diuro. Nocham Ish Gamzu is now carrying with this very expensive gift. He has a box full of money, gold, diamonds, and he's going to deliver this to the Kesi of Rai. But on his way, he had to stay over somewhere. Boyle Mavis, Amri Leh. So they asked him, my ikubadach. They asked Nocham Ish Gamzu, tell me, what are you carrying in your chest? Amri Leh told him, Kom Mevilne Kargel Kesar. Says, we have a gift representing the Jewish people, and we're bringing it to the Kesar of Rami. Come up alayla, middle of the night, people got up, Sharir was sifte. They opened up Nocham Ish Gamzu's chest. V'shaklu kol dehavigabe. They emptied it out. They took all the money for themselves. Umalinu off, and they replaced it with dirt. Nocham Ish Gamzu had no idea. Kimatul Hassam, when he arrived by the Kesar of Rami, he says, I'm here as an emissary of the Jewish nation. We want to present you with the following gift. So there's this big ceremony. The Kesar of Rami opens it up, and it was filled with us. Offer, says the Gemara, Ishtakach Afra, Omar, he said, Achuki kamechaycha b'yudai, the Jews are mocking me, they're making fun of me, Afkul amiktale, kill him. Omar, he said, Gamzu l'toiva, Osaliyo, says the Gemara, Liyo, Novi came, Vidmulu kechad minayo, and he came, appeared, disguised as a Roman officer. Omalu tells them, you know, the Jews, they have offer in their lore that was very, very miraculous. Dilmahai Afra may Afra Davram Avinuhu. Davishadi Afra, when he would throw it, Havi Charbi, it would turn into swords. Gili, Havi Giri, straw would turn into arrows. Baduk, he says, why don't we check it out? So the Gemara says they checked it, va'ashkechu hachi, and miraculously that's what happened. Says the Gemara, have a mechayza, there was a certain shtetl to have a koyach le mechvashay, that for whatever reason, the Romans, with all their strength and all their might, were having a difficult time conquering. Show them Afra, they now use this new secret weapon of Kavshua, and they were able to conquer it. So the Gemara says, avulu v'ignasa, the Romans and the Caesar, he was so blown away by this gift that he had just received from Nachumish Gamzu, and from the Jews, he took him into his base genozim, he opened up the safe, Amri, and he told him, shkod denichaloch, you can take whatever you want. Matli the sifted the hava, so Nachumish Gamzu filled it all up with gold, and now he's heading back to Yerushalayim, he's heading back to the Yidden. Yadar asa, on his way home, Amrulei hanuch diyaris, he stayed in the same hotel that he had stayed in previously. So they asked him, tell me a little bit about what happened when you were in Rome. So he told him, listen, it's a great story. I had offer. I gave it to them. This offer turned out to be a miraculous offer. And they were able to defeat a village that they were never able to conquer. When they heard that, they said, wow, I mean, this offer's in our backyard. They never realized what they had going on over here. So the Gemara says, so they went and they filled up a chest. They went to the Romans and they tried fakaifing him. He says, we have more of this offer. Either way, they tried it. Needless to say, it didn't work. And katlinu lahanich diyuri, and the Romans ended up killing these people for what it was they did. Either way, so the Gemara tells a story about what Shem ben Noach told Eliezer Eved Avram in terms of what happened when they were in the Teva, which is the topic of this part of the daf. The Dor HaMabul. So the Gemara then tells us the rest of the story. Then Shem asked Eliezer, how were you and Avram able to defeat the kings? And then Agav Urchi, on the topic of this miraculous offer, which Avram Avinu used to defeat the kings, we tell a story where it would reappear to Nochem Ish Gamzu, who was Melumed Benisim. It's interesting, because the Gemara mentions Nochem Ish Gamzu, who no matter what would happen, he would always say Gamzu L'Toiva. There's another person, another Tzaddik, Tana, personality in Chas, where whenever anything bad would happen, would always say it's for the good. Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara said, Rabbi Akiva would say, Kol ma de Ovid Rachmana, the Tav Ovid. That's why we have so many Gemaras. It's going to come up again in the next few days. But the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva would always say that whatever Hashem did, Kol ma de Ovid Rachmana, the Tav Ovid. Rabbi Akiva saw the shul as Yoitzin, Ibeis Kodesh, Akidashim, everybody was crying. Rabbi Akiva Mitzachek, Rabbi Akiva was able to see a silver lining. Kishachol Rabbi Eliezer, we just had the Gemara, Nichnasu Tamid of Levakre, everybody was crying. Rabbi Akiva was laughing. The Gemara says that when the Romans tortured Rabbi Akiva to death, Rabbi Akiva was happy. He said, "Kol yom mai ha'yisi mitztayer." I used to always wonder, when am I going to be able to be mekayim this pasuk? Now I see I can be mekayim this pasuk. After Churban Beit, Rabbi Akiva was masakin the bracha after Toiv Ametiv. Point is, Rabbi Akiva had this unbelievable knack of being able to see the positive. Rabbi Akiva was also on this level where he said, Kol ma adav rachman ol tafav. What not everybody knows is that the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva was the Talmud of Nachum Ish Gamzu. The Gemara says Rabbi Akiva shimesh Nachum Ish Gamzu chof beis shodim. So I don't know if he learned Torah by him. Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe was Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva had other Rebbe. But what we do know for sure is that he was mishamish Nachum Ish Gamzu. He had shimush by Nachum Ish Gamzu. So just like Nachum Ish Gamzu was Gamzu l'toiva, Rabbi Akiva too was Kol ma adav rachman ol tafav. But I heard recently somebody told me, I can't remember who told it to me, but I think he told me B'Shem Devil Nagoyen, that the Goyen said that there was a chiluk between the Madrega of Nochem Ish Gamzu and the Madrega of Rabbi Akiva. Nochem Ish Gamzu said Gamzu L'Toiva. Whenever you find the word Zu or Zeh, it means you're looking the thing between the eyes. HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, says Rashi, Melamed Shera HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe D'Lavona. He showed him the moon and he said, Kazeh, when it looks like this, that's when you're supposed to be Mechadosh D'Lavona. Zeh always means you're looking at it. Nochem Ish Gamzu was able, in real time, to see a tzara, when something difficult was happening, and say, Gamzu this right here, L'toiva. I know it's for the good. I know it's for the good. I have this gift that I'm supposed to bring to the Romans. I open it up. I'm in the middle of the ceremony. There's no way, how could this possibly play itself out well? Gamzu L'toiva. No, das is eichet good. He's looking at it, he said, Gamzu L'toiva. Rabbi Akiva was the Talmud. Akiva's Madrega was a little bit different. Rabbi Akiva's Madrega was more big picture. Kol ma da ovid rachmano l'tav ovid. Not Gamzu L'toiva. Maybe not on that same micro level, but he was able to appreciate that even though I can't understand why this is L'toiva and why that is L'toiva, but I know that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is L'toiva, because Kol Ma David Rachmano L'toiva David. Could be it's not the same Madrega. There's a Madrega of Gamzu L'toiva where you can look at this individual detail and see good in it. And then there's the Madrega of more big picture of Kol Ma David Rachmano L'tav Ovid. The Chassidim tell a story that there was once a Rebbe that used to preach to his Talmidim, Kol Mado Ovid Rachmano L'tav Ovid. And this was his theme. Every shmooze had in it a little bit of Kol Mado Ovid Rachmano L'tav Ovid. Vahi Ayoyim, one of this Rebbe's Talmidim, is on his way to Yeshiva, and he sees the Rebbetzin standing outside. And the Rebbetzin calls him over. He says, Bucha, kim do I have? He goes over to the Rebbetzin. He says, you're on your way to Yeshiva? He says, yeah, you're going to see the Rebbe? He says, yeah. He says, I want you to tell the Rebbe that there was just a fire in our house. And the Rebbe's svor room, where he had all his kisveyad, it got burnt. It went up in flames. Nothing survived. Everything is gone. Looks at the Rebbetzin. He tells the Rebbetzin, I can't tell this to the Rebbe. No way. How could I tell this to the Rebbe? He says, please, I'm asking you, do me a favor. I want you to tell this to the Rebbe. So the Rebbetzin said, guys, you have no choice. You have to listen. So he's walking to Yeshiva and he's thinking in his head, how in the world is he going to break the news to him? It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, this is the Rebbe's thing that he's been working on his whole life. How could he tell them that it's all gone up in flames? So he walks into the Rebbe and he says, you know, the Rebbe always talks about Kol Mado Avid Rachmano L'Tav Avid. He says, Emes? He says, Father, Emes. He says, really, it's true? He says, what do you mean it's true? Of course it's true. Everything that the Eibusha does is for the good. He says, let's say something happens that there's no way in the world to possible fathom how it could be good. It's still good. Kol Mado Avid Hakol L'Rabbe. He says, everything is for the good. He says, let's say I would tell you now there was a fire in your house. And your svarim, your kisveyat, all your chedushay Torah that you've been working on for the last 75 years, everything went up in flames. Would you say it's for the good? He says, of course I would say it's for the good. He says, well, on that note, I want you to know, I'm coming from your house. The Rebbetzin told me to tell you that your svarim room went up in flames. Everything was destroyed. The Rebbe heard that, he fainted. He chalished on the spot. So they revived the Rebbe. He said, Rebbe, I thought you told me it's true. So he turned to his Talmud and he said, it's true, but I never said it's easy. But that's the point. The point, it's emes. I'm not, it's emes. Kol ma'adavid rachmano l'tav ovid. But it's madrega to be able to live with it. Rabbi Akiva was able to live with the madrega. Kol ma'adavid rachmano l'tav ovid. Nochemish Gamzu was even a level greater. Gamzu l'toiv, in real time, he was able to, either way, on that note, we turn our attention from the Dor HaMabul to the Dor HaFluga. So this is the Gemara. Again, Dor HaFluga doesn't need much of an introduction. Dor HaFluga, Ein L'mchelik L'mabul. My Ovid. What did they do? Amri Devei Rav Shelo Nivne Migdol. They said, let us build a tower. V'nalo L'Rokia. And we're going to go up. We're going to ascend to the Rokia. V'naka Oysoi Bikardumois. And we're going to start hitting the Rokia with axes, Kadesh Yazuvu Meimav, so that we will empty the Rokia from all its water, so that like this, a Mabul will never be able to happen again. Meaning, in their primitive minds, I think, they thought that there would be a way to somehow take all the water from Shemayim, empty it out, there'll be no water left. If there's no water, it's not going to rain, but at the same time, there'll never be a Mabul. Like this, they'll be able to continue with their hashchasa and their chamas and their arayas and do whatever it is that they wanted to do, and at the same time not have to be afraid that there's going to be repercussions. So the Gemara says, "Mechaku alavim arava." So when they heard this in Eretz Yisrael, they laughed. He said, "Really? That's what they were doing?" He said, "Im kain livnu achad betura." What they should have done is they should have built it on a mountain. If you look in the pasuk, they actually built this tower in a valley. That's silly. I mean, you should start off from the highest point possible if the goal is to get as high as possible. Elo amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Elazar nechelku b'shalosh kitas. There were actually three groups of people that wanted to build a tower, and they were all coming from a different perspective. Achas meres nalav neishav sham. One said, "Let's build a tower and let's live there." Achas meres nalav navid avodas kechavim. The other one wanted to do it for avodas zara purposes. Achas meres nalav nasa mulcham. Let's do it. We'll be able to wage war. We'll be fortified. We'll be protected. The one that said, let's build this tower and live there, their punishment was that they were spread out. The one that said, let's go up and wage war, they became monkeys, apes, the ruchais, the shedim, the liv. The one that said, let's go worship Avodah Zarah, Kisham Bala Hashem Sfas Kol Aretz, they're the ones where the pasuk says that Hashem mixed up their language, where suddenly they're talking 70 different languages and no one's talking the same language. No, really, they were all mechavim l'shem avodah zarah. The whole concept of this tower, this migdol, was all avodah zarah. It says, "Nas lanu shem v'ksiv hasam v'shem elihim acherim lo'is askiru ma'al v'halin avodah zarah." I've kind of avodah zarah. I'm Rabbi Yechon. Migdol, The tower, Shlish Nisraf, a third of it was burnt, the top third. Shlish Nivla, a third of it was swallowed in the ground. Shlish Kayim, and one third of it still remains. Oh, my Rav, Rav said, Aver Migdol Mishakech. If somebody goes today, in his times, to the ear space of where this Migdol was, it makes you forget things. Forget your Torah. Oh, Rav Yosef, Bavel Ubursif, Simon Rola Torah. Bavel and Bursif are the same way. My Bursif, why was Bursif called Bursif? Omar Rav Asi Boer Shafi. It's an acronym. It's Boer that's emptied. So when a person goes to that area, his Boer, so to speak, gets emptied, he forgets his Torah. So we'll get back to the Dor HaFlaga a little bit later. But for now, moving along from the Dor HaFlaga to the Anshei Sedoim. Says the Gemara, Anshei Sedoim Eilem Chelek Leilem Abba. Tanu Rabban, Anshei Sedoim Eilem Chelek Leilem Abba. Shenemar, V'Anshei Sedoim Ron V'Chatom L'Hashem Oy. Ron means Leilem Azeh. V'Chatom Leilem Abba. Om Rav Yehuda. Ron Begufam. Ron means that they were bad with their bodies, meaning they committed sins. Begufam, such as arayos, vechatam b'mamoinam, and they did averus with their money. They stole, etc. Rug begufam dechsev ve'ich esa rug day lazois vechatasim gleil kim. That pasuk is in the context of Yosef and Eishes Potiphar. So there, the avera was arayos, which is an avera begufan, and you see the word ra ve'ich esa ha ra. So when it says v'anshei stoim ra'im, it means begufam. V'chaton b'mamoinim. How do you know that? The context over there is where somebody doesn't want to lend somebody else money because Shemitah's coming, and he knows that Shemitah's mishamit chayvos. So the pasuk says v'hoi b'chachet. Now let him make such a cheshbin. So you see chet in the context of an aver that somebody's doing with his wallet. Lashem, when it says Lashem, zu birchas Hashem, it means they were mecharif u'megadish HaKadosh Baruch Hu me'oid shemischavim v'chaytim. They did this b'mezid. There was a certain madrega of malice and intent in premeditation in terms of the averus that they did. B'masnisa Tana, Bryce has said it just the opposite. Ro'im is not begufam, it's b'mamoinam. And chatoim is begufam. Ro'im, b'mamoinam, d'chsev ro'im, chabal chichayim. Same exact parsha of not lending somebody money before Shemitah, where it says, v'ayu b'chachet, it also says, v'ro'ah. The same parasha, Yosef and Eishes Potiphar, where it says, what are the next two words? So really, you can go either way. Hashem, zu brichas Hashem, ma'oid. In this price, ma'oid means something else. Zu shvichas dam. Shenem, b'kam dam noki shofach menashe. Harbe ma'oid. Tanu rabban, an anshi istoim, loy nesko, ele b'shvil toivesh, yishpil am HaKadosh Baruch. You know what brought the people in Stoim to do the averus that they did? It was the booming economy. It was all the toifa. It was the hashpuas toifas that Hashem had bestowed upon Stoim that got them to the place where they did the averus that they did. Maksiv bohem. What does the pasuk say about them? Eretz mimeno yetze lecha. A land. I'm going to read this from the English. From which bread comes forth, meaning which once upon a time was so fertile it produced bread. Vitachteha. In exchange now, nepach kemoyesh. It turned into fire. Mekoyim saper avoneho va'afrei zovloi nosiv lo yodai ayet v'loi shazaf soy ayin ayah lo yidrichu b'nei shochatz lo yoda olav shochal. Pasuk says, a place where its very stones yielded sapphires, its very dust was gold. It was a path unknown to any robber, unobserved by any spy. Mighty beast had not trod it. No lion ever traversed it. Don't try this at home. Amru. So the people of Stoim said, V'chimeyach ha'she'eretz b'menu yetze lechem. V'afro yizov. Like, we live in such a fertile land. This land's unbelievable. The offer, literally, the dust turns to gold. They have a money tree in their backyard. So why do we need people to pass through? We don't need them. I mean, we don't need them for economic purposes. We're doing just fine ourselves. We're a self-sustained economy. So what do we need people for? You know what they're going to do? They're going to come to us. They're going to want from us. They're just going to... We don't need them. We have to do something. We have to come up with a way to make it that people are going to stop passing through our city. Because we have nothing to gain from them. All we have is to lose. The gist of that is Let's try to find a way to get people Hanishkochemini regal to stop, to forget. People should know that nobody goes to study. It's off limits. Dara Shokam. I dechsev at ono tohususu al ish tirotzchu kulchem kikir notu goder haduchuya. Talking about the perversity of study. Malamicha yonois the main name of Malimon. They would see a gvir that would come through town and they would want his money. So you know what they would do? They would set him up. Mashivinois etzel kir notu. They would tell him, you know, why don't you have a seat? You look tired. So they would put him down next to a wall that they knew was about to topple. Vedoichanois ayolov. And then they would make sure that it toppled, they would kill him, and then it was easy. Obama Neuklin, that's my money. They would take his money. When it was dark, in the nighttime, people would go and they would dig underneath the houses so that they should be able to sneak into people's homes and steal things from them. What they would do is they would see people that had money. They would ask them, will you do me a favor? I have this incense, this afar simon. Would you watch it for me? They would say, sure. They would keep it and put it together with the things that they were watching, put it in their safe. That night, they would break into the person's house. They would want to know where the safe is. Hey, you know where the safe is? They knew there was afar simon there. So they start sniffing around for the afar simon. Literally, like a dog. That's where they knew to dig. That was their patent. That's how they were able to walk off with all the money. Again, more psukim, all in Eoiv, talking about the horrors of Sodom. I'll read it in English. They would allow the naked to spend the night unclothed, no garment to shield against the cold. They drive away the orphan's donkey, take the widow's ox in pledge. They move back boundary markers, have stolen flocks, and take them out to graze. He will be taken to the burial ground, be hastened to the mount. Point is, just the most unbelievable achzarias that you can fathom. Reb Yossi was in Tzipori. That's where he was rav. And he was once giving a drasha, and he was talking about some of these mechanisms that the people of Stein would use to go steal from people, says the Gemara. That night, after there were 300 break-ins. 300 people broke into people's houses. Why? Because they just got ideas for Rabbi Yossi's shmooze. Also, so people came to Rabbi Yossi to come and sarile. Unrelated, they told me, why are you giving these people ideas? I don't understand. Tonight, you had to give them, you told them, you know, it's time they had this chop, and they, you know, they used to break in this way, and this is how they committed that type of fraud. Says, what are you giving them ideas for? Unrelated, they told them, you have this. He says, why would I have expected the people in Tzipori were Ganovim? To me, I thought it was Torah. We had a similar Gemara once upon a time where I think Rabbi Yochanan said, Oyliyim Agid, Oyliyim Lo Yagid. Right? Rabbi Yochanan was conflicted. He said he wasn't sure. Sometimes you learn Gemaras. He said, should we talk about it? I mean, should we talk about the Ramos? Or, you know, maybe it's better that we don't. Either way, Kinoch Nafshi, the Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi passed away. Shafi Marzevi, the Tzipori Dama. The gutters of Tzipori poured out, not water, but blood. Why blood and why Tzipori and why is this Gemara mentioned here? So this is actually something we spoke about a very long time ago. This is a Gemara Masechtas Maikotin, the Inkam Mekoyme Lahayach. Rashi says that we just mentioned that Rabbi Yossi was Rav in Tzipori. So Baderech Agav, when Rabbi Yossi passed away, the gutters in Tzipori poured blood. Amri. More about Sodai. They used to say, if somebody owns one ox, so he must graze all the oxen of Stoim for one day. The less like, let's say somebody doesn't even own one ox. He has no ox, as an Udaman. Liri Treyay. See, he would be responsible to graze all the oxen in the city for 2 days. Does it make sense? No, but that's the theme of Stoim. Everything was counterintuitive. It made absolutely no sense. Ahu Yasu Bar Malta. The Gemara says it was a person, he was a Yasim, son of a Yasima. Holy Tairi Lemire. So they gave him once Tairim to watch. He didn't have any of his own shvarim. He didn't have his own oxen. Because he had no oxen, so his responsibility was twofold of what everybody else had to do. Everybody had to watch one day. You have to pay twice the amount of taxes. Why? Because you made no money. That makes sense. So the Gemara says, tax the poor. Also, so he went and he took these oxen. He was pretty upset. And he killed them. And then afterwards, the people came and they found that the entire herd, it was all dead. So then he said, now what are we going to do with all these carcasses? He said, the Islay Torah, this is called Mashka. He said, anyone that had a shar, gets one. The last late Tura, someone that didn't have a shor, Nishkol Trey Mashki, he takes two. Amalei Mai Hai, he says, it's illogical. It doesn't make any sense. Amalei, he says, really? Seif Dina, Ketchivas Dina. Ma Tchivas Dina, it sounds like a sugim of a kam. Ma Tchivas Dina, the Islay Tura, Mari Chad Yoimo, just like you told me that somebody that has one tur, one shor, has to watch one day. But the last late Tura, if he doesn't have any, Mari Trey Yoimi, he would have to watch 2 days. So too now that the animals are dead and it comes time to split them up, we have to figure out what to do with the hide and to do with these dead animals. This if you had one, take one. The less if you had none, I'm going to take two. They used to say as follows: the other ben mavra nesef chadzuza. So if you passed the bridge, you went across a bridge, you have to pay a toll. So you'd have to pay one zuz. Let's say you were able to get into the city without crossing the bridge. So nesef trei, you have to pay. Not $11 or $22, whatever the Verizano is these days. The Havalei Dara Delivne, people would have, let's say, bricks. They're building a house outside, they're laying the bricks, they're about to build a house. So people would get together and each person would take one brick. Now at the end, this guy had nothing, but he would go over to each person, he would say, you stole my bricks. I stole you, I took one brick. What's a brick already? I thought, what is it? $3 for that, you're gonna make me crazy. All I took was what? Now we showed it to me and Mashki. People would sometimes they would take their vegetables and they would put it out in the sun to dry. So a bunch of people, a gang would come together, and each one would take one person. Amalei, he said, what do you want from me? I took one onion. You're gonna drive me crazy for a clove of garlic, seriously? There were four Dayanim that lived in Stein. What were their names? Shakroi, Vishakrurai, Zaifi, Umatsli Dinos. These are all synonyms of the same thing, which suggests, I don't know if these were their real names, or these were names that Chazal gave them simply because of the way they went about doing their business. The Machle, the Itza, the Chavre, Umapule, if somebody would hit his friend's wife and cause her to miscarry, so she would summons him to court, there would be a court case, and you know what the judge would say? Amule, you have an Ale. You cause this woman to miscarry a child, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to replace the child. So they would take this woman, give her to this man, so that he can now impregnate her so that she can have another child. Then Habir Nalik. The Pasuk Levo Udna the Chamar. If somebody would bite off or take off the ear of somebody's donkey, the Chabri Omele, they would tell him, Habir Nalik, Yad Kadcha. I hear. You now have to take care of this donkey. Why should he be responsible for this donkey? You take the donkey until it grows its ears back. When it grows its ears back, then you're going to return it to its real owner. The Padale Lechavre, if somebody would hit his friend and cause him to bleed, Amrle, they would tell him, Havle Agra, give him money. He says, one second, I owe him money? He owes me money. He hurt me. He says, yeah, the Shakalach Dama. In the olden days, they used to bloodlet. And bloodlet was something, unless you had insurance, right? Copays, whatever, you'd have to pay for it. It was considered, that was a classic form of refuah. So if you hit somebody and now the guy's gushing blood, you know, I owe him a lot of money because he was bloodletting. If somebody would cross the river on a boat, you would have to pay 4 zuzim. The other b'maya, not b'mavra, on a boat. But rather b'maya, if you would swim across, you have tamni zuzim. So if you took a taxi, you'd have to pay 4 zuzim. But if you walked, now you have to pay 8 zuzim. So the Gemara says, a head scratcher. Says, in the chadasa who kaivis, there was a kaivis. Iklul ha'asim ikein. Amrle, they told him, have arba zuzi. Give us 4 zuzim. You know, you came into Stein, you got here somehow. Assume you took a cab, an Uber, whatever, you owe us 4 zuzim. Amalu, he told another my Avri. He says, no, I swam. Amalu, oh, him came, he was like, have tamni, give me 8. So the guy started putting up a fight. Lo yoiv, he didn't want to give it to Padu. So the guy hit him. He was bleeding. Also, the Kamid Dain, he went in front of a judge. And he said, judge, this is really crazy. He says, number one, I walked into town, I swam into town, and they want me to pay a toll, that's double. Then I get into a fight. This guy beat me up, so yeah, I want restitution here. You have to take care of me. Amalei, so he told him, listen, Havle Agra de Shakalach Dama, Utam Nizuzin, Davis Bamaya. Our verdict is that you owe not 4 Zuzin, but 8 Zuzin, because you have to pay double for not using our services. And by the way, the fact that he hit you means you owe him money because he bloodlet. This was a day in the life of Stein. Eliezer Eved Avram, Israel Mihasam, Eliezer Eved Avram was once in Stein. Pad you. Somebody hit him. You probably heard the story. Also, the Kami Daina. And he went in front of a judge. They told him, Havli Agri the Shagalach Dama. He says, give him money. You owe him money. He just bloodlet. Shakal Glola. So Eliezer was an Eved of Avraham Avinu, has given a Kliga Yid. So what he did was, he took a rock or a stick, and he hit the judge. Padu ila dayono. Omar, he says, my high, what are you doing? Amale, he said, listen, you now owe me money, so why don't you just give the money you owe me to my buddy, and we'll call it even. Agrid enough of luck me noch. Exactly. We'll call it a day. There was a bed in stone. That they would put Orchin to sleep on. Kimayrich, if the person was taller than the bed, Geisle, they would chop off his legs. Ki Gutz, if he was too short, Maschale, they would stretch him. Eliezer Avram was in stone. Amrle, they told him, Kungni Apuria. Eliezer, why don't you lie down on this bed? Amalusi told him, Nidrana Nadri, I made a neder, min yoimid de misas imale ganin apuria. From the day that my mother died, I'm not going to sleep on a bed anymore. And mourning, Avelus, I'm not going to sleep on the bed. Yisramilu Anya, if poor person would come to Stoim. Everybody would give him a dinar. So this is a man who's starving to death. And he knocks on people's doors. And people felt, I mean, he's starving to death. You have to give him a dinar, right? You have to give him something. So each person would give him a dinar. But Kosef Shmeale, they would write their name on the dinar. And there was already an understanding. Nobody would give him bread. So all this person had was money. Now eventually he raised money. So he's walking around with 100 dinarim in his pocket. But he doesn't have lechem lecha, and eventually he would die. Kavi miss when he would die. Everybody would come back, and they would take their dinar. They had their name on it, so they know which dinar belonged to them. Unbelievable. They had the following rule amongst themselves. If somebody invites somebody to a wedding, l'shalach glima, we're gonna take off his clothing publicly. He's gonna be publicly shamed. I mean, you cannot invite a guest even to a chasana. Nope. If you live in Stoim, yeah. But from outside, you can't have any guests coming in from outside. And if you do, your punishment is going to be, you're going to be publicly shamed. We are going to take your clothing off. There was a chasna. Eliezer Eved Avram was invited to this wedding. Nobody wanted to give him any bread because they were afraid. If they gave him something to eat, they're going to be publicly shamed. But he was really hungry. So the Gemara says, so Eliezer sits down. Amalei told him, he starts making conversation. So who are you? Nice to meet you. I'm Eliezer Eved Avram. Really? So he says, who invited you here? So he points to somebody. He says, Yosef, this person, you're the one that invited me. So this person got pretty scared when he heard that. Now, I don't know if it was true or it wasn't true, but whether it was or wasn't, he got really scared. So the Gemara, he took his rentzel, his umbrella, and he ran for his life. He didn't want to have anything to do with this. He was afraid that he was going to be embarrassed. Virat Levra, and he left. The chain of the Kul, the Elias says, you know something, wasn't him. It was the other guy. In the meantime, everybody left. So they were real achzorim, but clearly not the sharpest tools in the shed. Until they all left. And Eliezer had a big suda that he was able to eat all for himself. Havia hi revisa, and this story is perhaps the defining story of the Anshei Stoim. There was a young girl, Tava Kamafka Riftala Anya Bechatzba. She had in her Rachmanis, and she couldn't tolerate what she saw, that there are Aniyim, people that are coming, they have everything in the world. Their dust is like gold, Eev said. And here they're not willing to share anything. So she went out of her way, she was Moiser Nefesh, and she would feed the poor. Igloi Milsa, and people found out about it. Shafyu Dufsha, so they took her, and they smeared her with honey. For Ukmal Egeshur, they put her on top of a wall, Asizi Bur Vachlu, and bees came, and they tortured her, they bit her, they ate her until she finally died. Vahainu dechsev, that's what the pasuk means when it says, Vayomer Hashem, Hashem tells Avram, Zaka stoy v'amoyro ki rabo. I heard the screaming of stoy, I can't tolerate it anymore. I have to destroy the stoy. What does it mean, Zaka stoy v'amoyro ki rabo? It's a play on words. It's referring to this riva, this young girl, a riva, an Aramaic. He heard the cries of this riva. That's the straw that broke the camel's back. At that point, says Hashem, I can't tolerate it anymore. Done. I have no choice. But at this point, I'm going to have to destroy Sodom. Either way, that concludes the Anshei Stoim portion of the daf. It's just a few ha'aris. Just a few ha'aris before we conclude. That is, so there's a lot to talk about. And it's, of course, this week's parsha as well. But I just thought to pick on really the beginning when Stoim gets introduced to us right at the very beginning, where Hashem, right after the Malachim leave Avraham Avinu, so Hashem says Vayomer. Just find the pasuk inside. Here, pages were stuck together. Vashem Omar, Hashem said, Vayakumu Mishama Anoshim. So after the three Malachim, the Anoshim, they come to Avraham Avinu, Shlishi Bemila, Hachnos Hasorchim, Vayakumu Mishama Anoshim. They get up and they now have to go on their next mission. Vayashkifu. And they gaze al pnei Sodom. They look in the direction of Sodom. That's where they're headed now. They have a mission. Their mission is to destroy Sodom and to save Lot. Avram Avinu was going together with them. Vashem Amar, as Avram is backlighting these three malachim, his three guests, and he's walking them, Hashem says, should I not tell Avram what it is that I'm about to do? I'm about to destroy Sodom. I have to tell Avram Avinu why. Because Avram Avinu one day is going to be an Av Hamoin Goy. He's going to be the father of a very, very mighty nation. A Goy Godel Va'atzum. The Nivrechu Boy Kol Goye Ya'aretz. And all the nations of the land are going to get Brocha through this Goy Godel Va'atzum. Ki Yedativ. Because I know that Avram Avinu is going to teach his children. He's going to be mechanech his children in the right way. And as a result, they are going to observe the ways of Hashem. So Hashem, with this very mysterious preface, says that how can I not tell Avram Avinu what I'm about to do? I'm about to destroy it. So I didn't tell Avram. I have to tell him. Why? Because Avram, how you yell the guy God of Atzim, never go back to Goya Yaretz. Ki yedatev l'mana she yitzav ez bonav ez beisei achrav v'shomru derech Hashem lasi stoku mishpat l'man hovi Hashem al Avram ez asher diber olav. And because of that, v'ayomer Hashem, Hashem turns to Avram and he tells him the pasuk we just read. Zaka stoim v'amoyro ki roba v'chatosom ki kov demoyd er dono v'era hakitzakos aboy lai osu kolav em lo yehido. I want to find out what's really going on. And Hashem tells Avram what he's about to do. Avram starts negotiating with him. You're going to destroy a whole city. Aren't there any tzaddikim? 10 tzaddikim, 5 tzaddikim, 1 tzaddik. And that's the whole negotiation. Avram can't find even one tzaddik to try to save Stoim. Stoim gets destroyed. Lot is speared, and the rest is history. But the cash is obvious. If Hashem wanted to tell Avram what he was about to do Sodom, he could have told Avram. There's so many nevuas. Chazon Yeshayo, Hashem comes to Yecheskel, you have Amos Micha. You have all the nevuas that the Nevi'im were told, and there's no hakdama. There's no introduction that, should I tell Amos what I'm about to do? Can I not tell Amos? It's a nevuah. Hashem spoke to Nevi'im. Hashem communicated with the Avos, with Moshe, with Aharon. I mean, there's no shortage of nevuas throughout Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. Why? With this one nevuah, that you have this introduction. So it's Yedua, and we've spoken about this in the daf many, many times. It's something that always comes up, the Chasam Sofer, that he says in so many different places, that Weizen Weissachos, that really, Avraham Avinu was not on the level. He wasn't on the Madregas HaNevuah, where Hashem should have told him what was going to take place. He wasn't on the Madregas HaNevuah. Avraham Avinu was really not on the level where he should have received this nevuah. And it's for that reason that really Hashem wasn't going to tell him. But you know why Avram wasn't on the level to have received this nevuah? It was because Avram Avinu had taken away so much time that he could have used to personally shteig, to do chesed, to do kiruv, for achila, for shtia, levaya, to give discovery seminars. He had done so much to do that. He was running fellowship programs. And it was because of that he hadn't achieved his shleimus. And Hashem felt that a person cannot, will not ever lose because of time that he gives up to somebody else. And that's the cheshbon, and that's the limud. That really Avram Avinu isn't supposed to get this. But a mechasen im Avram, how can I not tell Avram Avinu? The reason Avram Avinu is not on the Madrega is because of everything that he does. It's ki yedatu v'manashi yitzav ez bonav ez beis ayachru v'shomu darach Hashem. It's because of all the time that he's giving up for everybody else. And if that's the reason that he's doing it, he can't lose out as a result of it. And it's for that reason, despite the fact that he's not on the Madrega to know, I'm going to tell him anyways. Tzidua, there's a var from the Dubna Magid. Dubna Magid said, what does the pasuk mean? Hashem's not going to tell Avram, but he says, how can I not tell him? V'Avram hoyeyia, v'goy gadol, v'atzom. So he explained it, of course, with a mashal. He says, there was once a suit store that was holding a big sale. It was a big sale. And a person walks in, and he says, he needs to buy suits. Who are you buying them? For your children. So he tells him, really, for your children, okay, what sizes do you need? So he tells him, he needs a size 4, a 6, an 8, a 10, a 12, a 14, a 16. He says, really, you need so many suits. I mean, how many kids do you have? He says, I'll tell you the truth, I have a lot of kids. And when this kid is a little younger, that kid's going to be a little bit older, and I just always need suits. I have a lot of boys in my house. I need suits. Give me whatever you can get, because what's good for this one will be good for that one. Everything, this is what I need. So he said, Amir de Gazach, said the Dubna Magid, that we know that there's no such thing as a prayer going unanswered. Every single tefillah is answered. See, he said that Hashem knew that when Avram Avinu was going to find out that he's about to destroy Sodom, what was Avram Avinu going to do? He was going to daven, which is exactly what he did. And Hashem also knew that he wasn't going to answer Avram Avinu's tefillahs, because Sodom at the end of the day deserved to be destroyed. The Anshei Sodom, Ram v'chatom l'Hashem mo'ed. They were going to be wiped out. But at the same time, Avram Avinu's tefillahs were going to be saved. They were going to be saved for some future generation. Because at the end of the day, no tefillah ever goes unanswered. So Hashem says, I'm a chasim in Avram Hashani. He says, should I not tell Avram what I'm about to do? Avram one day is going to be a goy gadol va'atzum. Avram is going to have a lot of children. He's going to have a lot of enoklach. And Avram's children and Avram's enoklach are going to need yeshuas. They're going to need refuas. They're going to need parnasa. They're going to need nachas. They're going to need tefillahs. So let me tell Avram Avinu now what I'm about to do. Because I know what Avram is going to do. He's going to daven. And these tefillahs will be there with Dairi Dairis to be able to protect his grandchildren, this Goy Gadol Va'atzim, in future generations. I once heard the Pasuk says, V'aschanon el Hashem be'isahi lemar. Lemar always means L'dairis. Because I'll say, wherever it says the word lemar, it means I'm telling you something that's pertinent to future generations. V'aschanon el Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu's davening. I want to go into Eretz Yisrael, Eber Nava Era, L'dairis, Moshe Rabbeinu daven tefillahs, Kaminyan V'aschanon, Chazal say. He davened 515 tefillahs. What was his tefillah? I want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Did Moshe Rabbeinu go into Eretz Yisrael? No. So, I would have thought that all those tefillahs were exist. They went to waste because Moshe didn't enter Eretz Yisrael. His prayers were never answered. Says the Pasuk, it doesn't work that way. Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs weren't answered then, but they were ledoiris. There were times in the future of Klal Yisrael where the Yidden need Yeshuas, and the Yeshua came because of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs. That's the Dubna Magid's chap. I know what Avram Avinu is going to do. You know what he's going to do? He's going to daven. And if he's going to daven, and I don't answer his tefillahs, he's now going to have stored up in his account tefillahs that we can use for future, and we're going to need them. Because Avram Hoyeyeh Begoy God of Atzim. But I saw an unbelievable machshava in the Ksav Sofer. Ksav Sofer says a different shit. He says that we just mentioned the Dor HaMabul, we mentioned the Dor HaFlaga, and we mentioned the Anshei Sodom. You know, the Dor HaMabul was completely wiped out. Noach, his family, they're the only ones that survived. Sodom was completely wiped out. The Dor HaFlaga wasn't wiped out. They were dispersed, but they weren't destroyed. They weren't completely wiped out. The question is why? Why the Dor HaMabul and the Anshei Sodom were completely wiped out and the Dor HaFlaga not? And if you think about it, it's Hepech HaSvaro. Because the Dor HaMabul, they were Balei Taiva. The Dor of Anshei Sodom, they were Balei Taiva. The Dor HaFlaga, that was Kfira. It was Avodah Zarah. They thought they were going to build a tower, fight Hashem, all Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah. So if anything, you would think Hashem has less tolerance for Avodah Zarah than he has for everything else. So how is it possible that the Dor HaMabul and Anshei Sodom completely wiped Gofres for Melech, Sreifa, Kol Arza, Vayimachis, Kol Ayikum? But when it comes to the Dor HaFlaga, they're spread out. Punishment, I'm not sure what the punishment was. Mishom Efitzim Hashem Apnei Oretz, Bolal Hashem Sfas Kol Oretz. So you know, asks the Kasha? Rashi asks the Kasha. Rashi in Parashas Noach. V'chi ezei kasha, says Rashi, shel Dor HaMabul or shel Dor HaFlaga? Which was worse? Who do you think did a bigger aveira? Says Rashi, it's pashit. If you're asking me, the Dor HaFlaga did something worse. Elu loy pashtu yad v'ikr. Ve'elu pashtu yad v'ikr. Kaviyochel ilochim boy. The Dor HaFlaga wanted to fight with Hashem. Ve'elu nishtafu. Ve'elu loy nevdu min ha'ilon. Doesn't make any sense. Says Rashi, listen to Rashi. Elu shel Dor HaMabul hoyu gazlonin. V'hoysa meriva b'neihem. They didn't get along. There was machloikis. Lokach nevdu, that's why they were wiped out. The Elu, but the Dor HaFlaga was just the opposite. What did they do? They came together. Hava nerda v'novel. They all got amecha, the Pasuk says. Noyagin ahava v'reyus b'neim. Shenemer sofa achas v'dvar machodim. They had achdus. Lomadito, you know what you learn from here? Shesonu ha-machloikis v'godol ha-shalim. You know what the answer is? The answer is that achdus, Sholoim, saves, it protects, and machloikis could destroy. That was said regarding the Darim Habel. The Darim Habel had chomas. Sadoim, it was yad oni ve'evi lo yachsika. We just learned the Gemara's right now. It was all about achzorius, the riva achas, the cries of the riva achas. That was the downfall of the Darim Habel and the Anshei Sadoim. It's for that reason there was machloikis. They didn't get along. That's why they got wiped out. The Dora Flogas of Eris were worse. They were Kaifrim, but they were Kaifrim in unison. They did it together. It was unanimous. And being that they came together as a unit, the Koyach of Achdus, that's what spared them. That's how they were saved. Says the Ksav Sofer, Hashem wanted Avram Avinu to know that. Hashem wanted Avram Avinu to know that. But how was Avram Avinu supposed to know that? How was he going to know? How was he supposed to know this such important message, the importance of Shalom? So I'll read it to you inside. Hine, Pirish Rashi, Hachiluk ben Dara Floga ben Dara Mabel, Kidara Mabel, Shaya Rosa ben Odom the Chaver, Hoya Inchum Godo, Vikolu ben Arts, Masha Enkein, Bidar HaFloga. So he says, it's for that reason Hashem went, Kizer Rotz Hashem, the Masha Gidol Avram, Meister Stoim. So he told him about the Meister Stoim. Ki you might, so you should learn, She Yoysir Manish Hashem Yizbarach Ala Vera Sheben Odom. So this is how you have to read the pasuk Tzedek Sav Sofer. Should I not tell Avram what I'm about to do? Avram is going to have a very powerful nation one day. And here's the punchline. I know that if I tell Avram what I'm about to do, and Avram Avinu is going to know, he lived in the times of the Dara Flaga. Avram Avinu was 48 years old at the time of the Dara Flaga. 48 years old at the time of the Dara Flaga. According to some midrashim, how old was Avram Avinu, by the way, when he was Makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu? 48 years old. The Gemara says 3, the Rambam says 40, but Chazal say 48. I heard once from Reb Shmuel Yankiv Zatzal. He said that, why 48? Because it was El Umazeh. Whenever there's a Koyach HaTumah in the world, Umazeh, there has to be a Koyach HaKdusha. The whole world chapped onto the Koyach HaTumah, but Avram HaIvri, Avram was Be'ivra Echad, Avram chapped onto that Stavka, that exact moment when Avram Avinu reaches his Shlemus. When you see so much Tumah in the world, it's an opportunity for a person. But the bottom line is, so Avram Avinu had seen the Dar HaFloga. He knew the Dar HaFloga had survived. He knew the story. Now all of a sudden, Stoim is being wiped out. You know what the answer is going to be? Because the Dar HaFloga, they were Safech. But this generation can't get together. So what's Avram Avinu going to do when he gets this lesson? He's going to tell his children. He's going to tell them the importance of Lasu Staka Umishpat to get along. And if they get along, then then I can give them all the brachas that I promised them in Parshas Lech Lecha. Because if the Yidden don't get along, if there's machlokes, I can't give them brachas. So Hashem says, this is my opportunity to show Avram Avinu a message that he needs to know, that his Eidekloch have to know. If I don't show it to him, how's he going to know? So this is the perfect opportunity, Hashem says. I'm going to destroy Sadoim. I didn't destroy the Dar HaFloga. I'm going to tell Avram, you know what the reason is? Dar HaFloga had Achdus, they didn't have Achdus. Ki Yedativ, what's Avram Avinu going to do? What is a wise person? He hears and he acts upon it. He's going to tell his children, to do what? What's the emphasis here? And it's in that vein that I'll be able to bring upon him all that bracha.
So as it relates to a new raid bite, the topic of the last dafin change was the Dora Mabel. In fact, the Talmud Bavli, Torah Shebal Peh, on the story of Noach and the Mabel is Sanhedrin Daf Kufches. And Befrat, in Chumashir, we just finished Parshas Noach. I think it's Kedai to speak out one Indian related to Noach. It's something that we mentioned in Chumashir. It's something that we referenced several times recently in the Daf. But Ein Beis Medrash B'loi Kamav Chidushim, and Befrat, I think just as a sikum with a clarkite, to go through something that is very yisodi in terms of understanding the role of Noach, in terms of understanding the world before and after the Mabel, in terms of understanding the fate of the Dor HaMabel. So the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Beis said, Dor HaMabel Ein Lohem Chelek La'olam Haba, which of course is the theme of Perek Chelek. Kol Yisrael Yesh Lohem Chelek La'olam Haba Ve'elu She'ein Lohem Chelek La'olam Haba. So the Mishnah said that the Dor HaMabel is Ein Lohem Chelek La'olam Haba. Not just that, Ve'ein Oimdim B'din. they will not, in the end of days, stand up to give din v'cheshbon. The Mishnah continued, and the Mishnah said, Dor haflaga ein lohem chelak l'olam haba, but it's implied that they will be oimid b'din. And the question is, what does it even mean when it says that the Dor hamabul are ein oimdim b'din, whereas the Dor haflaga ayer oimdim b'din? So when we learned the daf, we spoke out the Ramban in his Sharagmol, and this is specifically in Simen Resh Yud Aleph, where the Ramban says that the oimik of the Mishnah is based on different psukim that you find in Nach, Nevuas from Daniel, Nevuas from Malachi, where the Nevi'im talked about another din v'cheshbon that every person that ever lived is going to have to give in the end of days. Meaning, after a person dies, he gives din v'cheshbon, but then in the end of days, there's going to be a global tchias ha-mesim, and every single person that ever lived is going to get up. The purpose of the tchias ha-mesim is going to be to give din v'cheshbon, which will determine whether or not this person will merit a portion in the world to come or will not. Says the Ramban, when the Mishnah says, Dor hamabul ein lohem chelak l'olam haba, ve'ein oimdim b'din, ein oimdim b'din means that they're not even going to have the schus to get up to have to give din v'cheshbon, as opposed to the Dor haflaga, who ultimately will not have a chelak l'olam haba, but at the same time, they will be oimdim b'din. So essentially what the Mishnah is saying is that the Dor hamabul is so punished, they're so distanced from the tachlis, that they're not only not going to have a chelak in olam haba, they won't even be oimer b'din. And I think that this is something that's einoy oimer elo darsheni. Why is it that the Dor hamabul's fate is such that loimi boya, they have no chelak in olam haba, they're also not oimer b'din, and befrat maishna the Dor hamabul from the Dor haflaga? At the end of the day, these are two infamous generations. Chazal in different places compare and contrast which was better, which was worse, but at the end of the day, the Dor hamabul and the Dor haflaga are synonyms. They're partners in crime. They come together very often in the vernacular. So why is it that the Dor hamabul as opposed to the Dor haflaga, but they will be oimid b'din? So just to maybe say a little bit of a hesver based on an inyan again that we talked about, and it requires us to take a few steps backwards, and that is the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, it's the first Mishnah of the fifth parak, Ba'asara Doirois me Adam ad Noach. There are 10 generations that existed from Adam Arishan until Noach. Now, what's the significance of that? Says the Mishnah, Lohidia kame erech apayim lefanav. It's meant to tell us how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in Erech HaPayim. We know Erech HaPayim is one of the Yud Gimel Midoy Shel Rachamim, and when we recognize that there were 10 generations from Adam until Noach, it will bring out a certain knetch in terms of our Havana. Will have a certain yediyah in kama erech apayim lefanav. How so? Shekol adoyrois hayu machis emubam. Because all the generations, really starting from Enosh, were machis, and they were causing HaKadosh Baruch Hu tremendous anger. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited and waited and waited until he brought the mabul. When? In the 10th generation. But the point is, the Mishnah says, Asor adoyrois may adam adnoyach. Could be there's a little bit of an oimik in terms of what it is the Mishnah is trying to say. The Ramah, in his Sefer Teres HaOyla, and this is in Chelek Sheni, it's in Perek Chav Beis. So he's talking about the Indian of Meiser. And he says that Meiser is very, very chashuv, befrat, Teres HaOyla was written on Kachim, he's talking about the carbon that involves Meiser, which is Meiser Behema. And he says as follows, Ki nirali, she Indian of Meiser, tama mitzvah, the Indian of Meiser, and the tam of the mitzvah is, liyos lezikorin tamid bein einenu inyan ha'avos. It's so that we should always remember the avos. Shari Yaakov Ama, Yaakov said, aser asrenu loch. Yaakov gave Meiser, aser asrenu is a double lashon. Chazal say he even gave chaymish. V'chem b'yitzchok darshu chazal. V'yimtso b'ashona ahi meyos sha'orim, and oymid zel le'meiser soya chazal say. By Avram Avinu you find, v'yitein loy Meiser Mikael, which was the Meiser that he had given to Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem, who was Shem Ben Noach. Hare, says the Ramah, you see from here, Sheheskilu Inyan HaMeisrois Mitzad Atzman. The Avos HaKadoshim came to a very deep akara in terms of understanding the chshivas of Meiser, and that's why Meiser for us is something that's so critical, because when you give Meiser, you're going to have a zikaron tamid b'neinenu, like the tefillin shel Rosh, in your office. Fascinating idea. This is something that the Ramah says, the Ramah, as in the Ramah, in his Torah Sa'ilah. And then the Ramah goes weiter and he says, v'efsher shalomdu zem b'doyre sha'avru. It could be that this oimek that the Ovis themselves had in terms of appreciating Meiser, they got that from the doiros they had passed. Because from Adam Arishan until Noach, there were 10 generations. Vasiri Kodesh, the 10th generation was Noach, and he was Kodesh. Vechemi Noach ad Avram. And then there were another 10 generations from Noach until Avram, and Avram again, being the 10th generation, he was the Asiri Kodesh. And from that they realized this Indian of Asiri Kodesh, that is a certain side. This is what the Ramah says. But just one thing you see in this Ramah, and that is, Asar Doiros Me Adam Ad Noach, and really the next part of the Mishnah as well, Asar Doiros Me Noach Ad Avram, is not like a punk that it was 10 generations. The fact that Noach is the 10th generation from Adam, and the fact that Avram is the 10th generation from Noach, is something that's very significant. In fact, it's related to Soid HaMaisros. And the Soid HaMaisros, the Pasuk already says, Asiri Kodesh, there's a certain Kedusha in the 10th, not just the 10th animal that goes Tachas HaShevet, but the 10th generation from Brius Olam, and then the 10th generation after that. And that is somehow a little bit of a pnimius in terms of understanding why Noach is the 10th generation and then Avram is the 10th generation after that. Now, if the Inyan of Asar Doiris Meyadav Ad Noach is Asiri Kodesh, and the Inyan of Asar Doiris Me Noach Vad Avram is Asiri Kodesh, Ulezeh Omdu, and that's how the Ovis HaKdosh Wa Oymed Al Soit HaMaisris, so then you can add one more knech, and that is, the Rishonim in Parshas Bechukosai, by the mitzvah of Maiser Behemah, say that you find that the first animal that was born had Kedusha, Kedushas Bechar, and you find that the 10th animal that went Tachas HaShevet also had Kedusha. Says the Eben Ezra, it's not a punk that it's the first, now it's the first that's born, and the 10th that goes Tachas HaShevet both have Kedusha. And the reason is, V'hine ha-nifchar ha-echad v'ha-asiri. It's because the first is always chosen. There's a certain nifchar kait that a Bechar has, and the Asiri also is chosen. Shezek Moises, says the Eben Ezra. Because the first and the 10th are one and the same. Rabbeinu Bechaya says it as well. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, Ha-asiri keneged o-asiri shehu kodesh l'ashem reishas. Pasuk in Yirmiyo, Perek Beis, Pasuk Gimel. Ki ha-bechor v'ha-maiser ikram echad. Because the bechor and the maiser, ikram is one. V'zeh na'utz soifoi b'tchilason l'chaber u'liyachid ha-soif ma'reshes v'zeh mevor. Above our pay grade. But we understand the words of what Rabbeinu Bechaya is trying to say, which really the Eben Ezra in his Nusach says, and that is that the first and the 10th are one and the same. Zoysay Meres, when the Mishnah says Asar Doiros mi Adam vad Noach and Asar Doiros mi Noach vad Avram, the Mishnah is not just saying that, oh, Noach has a certain Kedusha because he's the Asiri, and Avram has a certain Kedusha because he's the Asiri. There's an extra Noifach, and that is there's some connection between Adam and Noach, and there's some connection between Noach and Avram. But Ashenegel in Yoneinu, there's a certain Na'utz Tchila V'Soif, there's a certain Zek in Moisés, L'shoyni Azov Shal Ibn Ezra, that exists between Adam Arishon and Noach. And that's included in what the Mishnah is teaching us. That Adam and Noach be'ikron u'be'mahusan are one and the same. And the question is, what is that? But it's Pashat, right? It's Pashat. Zil Kari Be'rav Pashat. Because Adam was the first person to ever live. And through Adam is Gekumen Avelt. Noach was the Shirayim of that world, and after HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Mabul, the Hemshech came through Noach. And being that the Hemshech came through Noach, so you say Meris is a connection between Adam and Noach. The world, L'chadchilo, came through Adam, and then L'besoif, it had its Hemshech through Noach. The truth is that if you take a look in Rabbeinu Bechaya, and Rabbeinu Bechaya is in Parshas Noach, it's in Perek Vav, it's Pasuk Yud Beis. So Rabbeinu Bechaya talks a little bit about Noach and his shaykhs that he had with Adam Arishan. Quote,
Ki bevadai. Kishem shahaya adam arishin av the roish l'chala nevroim acharav. Kach haya noyach av the roish l'chala nevroim achrei hamabel. So just like adam arishin was the av and the roish for everyone that was created after him, noyach to a certain degree was the same way, albeit for the world that would come after the mabel. Ukishem says, Rabbeinu B'chai, yishayu lo adam arishin shloish abonim. And just like you find that adam arishin had three sons, Kayin, Hevel, and Chase. V'loy hoyu ashnayim ikur abeva echa niskalel. Of his three sons, two of them were ikur, but one of them was Niskal, Kayin. Kainti matzei b'noyach shloish abonim. You find by Noyach the same thing, that he had three sons, Shem, Cham, v'yofes. V'loy hoyu ashnayim ikur, and two of them were ikur, v'echa niskalel. Cham. Ukishem shatim matzei, says Rabbeinu B'chai Vayter, b'bnei Adam Arishon, with regards to the sons of Adam Arishon, that Hashlishi, the third son, who was Chase, it was from him that the world came, shemimenu nishtachlel ha'olam, v'hu haya ikir habonim, came to b'nei Noyach. You find the same thing by Noyach. Timotzei Hashlishi, his third son, was ikir habonim, v'ushem, she'en shum umma, which is an interesting punchline, zoicha l'tchias ha'mesim, ki im b'nei Shem. But the bottom line is, Rabbi Abachai is already bringing out this point, that there's a shaychus between Adam and Noyach. Number one, they're both avirosh l'chal ha'nevram acharav, but even in a more nuanced way, they each had three sons. Of the three sons, two were good, one was bad. For each one of them, their Iker son was the third, and the Iker Hemshech came about through the third. That's a little bit of a oimek in terms of Asar Doiros, Mei Odom Vadnoyach, based on the Ramon, Teres Ha'olo, based on Ibn Ezra and Rabbeinu Bachya in Parshas Bukukoysa, in the Parsha Maisa Behema, with a little bit of a knech from Rabbeinu Bachya here in Parshas Noyach. But the emes is, I think it's a little bit deeper. And that is Yishlachkar. Let's clarify Akira in terms of understanding Noyach. What was the gather of Noyach after the Mabel? Is the pshat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and he started the world with Adam and Chava? The world got to a point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt can't work anymore. 1,656 years after he had created it, the Eibishter says we're going to have to make a tremendous change. Okay, but we can't make the world end. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was, he destroyed almost the entire world. He saved Noyach, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. He put them in this capsule, this teva, where they spent a year. And when they emerged, the world had a hemshech through Noyach Ubanov. In other words, the way you're supposed to view Noyach is the way you view the Holocaust survivors in 1945. Sigevena Welt, most of the world was destroyed. In Noyach's case, it's Ruba de Ruba, Ben Benoy Shal Ruba de Ruba. But at the end of the day, what Noyach is a survivor. Vayishar ach Noyach. There's such a musik that Noyach is a survivor, and through him is given a hemshech Vadavelt. Oye Shloimar, a more mechudish to get sad. And that is that when the Eibishter brought the Mabel, the Eibishter destroyed the world. The world came to an end. Gamarnu. Chazak, chazak, finis chazek. Tom v'nishlam the world. Narvas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted there to be a world. But this world's going to have to start from scratch. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that we're going to start this world from scratch through who? We're going to start it through Noyach. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create Noyach the way he created Adam HaRishon, Yitzir Kapov. Noyach is a Yelud Isha. But at the same time, the gather of understanding Noyach after the Mabel is that right now there's a new world, a whole new world, and the first person, so to speak, the patriarch of that new world is Noyach. So is Noyach the Shirayim of the old world? He's a survivor? Is that the gather of Noyach? Well, Noyach's not a survivor. Noyach is person number one. That's who he is. And he is from whence this new world is going to begin. I think if you ask the man on the street, he would say that the first tzad and the chakira is a little bit more mistaber. But the truth is, chipasti u'matzasi, that it's mefurish in at least one Rishon, and that is in the Torah from the Radak, like the second set. The Radak is going on the pasuk that says, "Vayivarech Elokim es Noyach ves Bonov, vayoyimer lehem pru uvu umilu es haaretz." This pasuk is mentioned right after Noyach leaves the teva, and the first communication that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with Noyach is he gives him a bracha, not just him, his sons. Vayoyimer lehem, and he told them, "Pru uvu umilu es haaretz." Says the Radak b'loshoyne yazov, "Afa pishek var hoyu bruchem betchilas abriya." Even though mankind had already gotten a bracha. When Adam Arisha was created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Adam the same exact bracha. But now,
The world was Ketchila Sabriya. Ki Neschadesh Ha'olam. Because the world was just Neschadesh Achar Shehayu Toyu V'Vayu. After it had just spent a year being Toyu V'Vayu. Sharei Neskasis HaKol Ha'aretz B'Mayim. Because the entire world had been covered with water, which was the state of Soyu V'Vayu. Right? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, V'Aretz Ha'isa Soyu V'Vayu. So the world is water. That is and was the state of Soyev Avayu. And it's for that reason that bracha was null and void. Because that bracha was for a different world. Once the world became Soyev Avayu, so it's there is Neschadish Ha'olam. It's a Nayavelt. And therefore he needed a bracha all over again. And that's why the Radak is saying this inyan. And that is that when the Eibishter brought the Mabel, it wasn't just that Hashem was wiping out a lot of people. But the Gedat Varim was, the Eibishter was taking that world, and that world is finished. And Ato, now the Noach emerges from the table, it's Ketchilas Abriya. Ki Neschadesh Ha'olam Acha Shoyu Toyev V'Vayu. Because now it's going to be a whole new world. Sharei Neskasas HaKola Oretz B'Mayim. Because you see the world became Toyev V'Vayu. And it's for that reason, any bracha that man had gotten before the Mabul is no longer Negeya. Because that's a bracha for Ha'andere Welt. This world fathers a new bracha. And that's why by Yavarach Lekim Esnoyach Vezbanov Vayomer Lehem Pru Urvu U Milu Asaretz. I think the Oymek, it's Pashat, the Oymek in understanding the Radak is the Medrash that the Rashba brings in his Chedushei Agadois in Mesechtes Brachas Dav Zayin, something that we spoke about at length in Chumashir, and that is that when the Eibishter destroyed the world with Mayim and he turned the entire world into water, the Gedat Advarim was that the Eibishter had sich gebankt noch the Gitte Zaten, and he brings a medrash that says that when Hashem had created the world, mamish, at the first moment of creation, when it was v'ruach elokim ra'chefes al pnei ha'mayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't know what this means, but was getting a tremendous hana, an oynig, a reich nichayach from the world. And the reason is because the mayim was being mekales HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mikoylois mayim rabim adirim. What comes from that? Adib amorim Hashem. And Hashem had tremendous hana. But then the Eibishter created man, and man was neskalkel. Then all of a sudden, the Eibishter wasn't having so much hana. So says the Medrash, and again, the Rashba brings this Medrash, and he learns up the Medrash, that what the Eibishter said was that I want to go back to the way the world was when it was mikoylois mayim rabim adirim mishpreyam adib amorim Hashem. And that was the gather of going ahead and bringing the Mabul. In other words, the Yisoid of the Mabul was Achzer Eschem L'Soy of Avayu. That was literally the gather. It wasn't poked, let's destroy the world with Mayim. I want to go back to a time where the world is Mayim. There's no Oretz, there's no people, there's nothing there. And it's Mefurish and Radak. That was this Inyan. What happened over here was, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the world that was, and through Noach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went, and he created a new world. And the truth is that if you look around, I believe there's so many things that are so moving based on this Indian. First of all, just look at the Psukim. The Psukim in the Torah that talk about the first communication that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with Noach. So the Radak already discusses how the first thing that David tells Noach is, Pru Uvu Amilu Asaretz. But go right in the Psukim, right? Let's just take him total. It's three Psukim. Vayivarach Lekim Es Noach Ves Bonav. Vayoyimer Lehem Pru Uvu Amilu Asaretz. Umayrachem Vechitchem Yeh Al Kol Chayas Asaretz. Val Kol Oif HaShomoyim. Bechol HaShe Tirmai So Adam. Bechol Dgei Ayom. Biyetchem Nitanu. Right? You, man, Noach, are going to be Moshel. You're going to rule over the entire animal kingdom. Kol Remes Asher Hu Chay. Anything that's creeping and crawling, right? There's no kosher, non-kosher then. You want to eat it, you can eat it. You can eat it just like you're allowed to eat grass. In other words, the first thing Hashem tells Noach is, Pru Uvu Amilu Asaretz. The second thing he tells him is, you're going to be moishel on the animal kingdom. And the third thing he tells him is what you're allowed to eat. You're allowed to eat Yerek Esev Asada, and not just that, Kol Remes Asher Uchai, Lochem Yilach. Let's go back to Parshas Bereishis. The minute Adam HaRishon is born. Mamash, this is the first minute. Vayivarech Oysem Elikim. Vayomer Lehem Elikim, Pru Uvu Amilu Asaretz V'kivshua. First thing he tells him is Puruvu. Uredu b'dgas hayom uvayv hashemayim b'chol chayir metzal ha'aretz. You're going to rule and you're going to reign over the animal kingdom. And then, vayom elikim, hinei nesati lechem es kol eitzav zarei hazer asher al p'nei kol ha'aretz. Ves kol eitz asher boi pri eitz zarei hazer lechem yilach. He tells him what he's going to eat. You could eat all the fruits and vegetables. Ulechol chayis ha'aretz. Ulechol oif hashemayim. Ulechol roi metzal ha'aretz. Asher boi nefesh chayo. Eitz kol yerek eitzav la'achlo. The animals are also going to be able to eat the yerek eitzav asada, which Chazal learned from there means that, oh, by the way, you're not allowed to eat the animals. So, what are the three things Hashem tells Adam Rishon when he was created? Pruvu, you're going to be moishla in the animal kingdom, and you're only allowed to eat esev asada, you can't eat animals. What are the first three things Hashem tells Noach? Pruvu, you're going to rule over the animal kingdom, and you, by the way, koremes asheru chai lochem yiloch l'kierik esev nosat v'lchem asakol, which we know Chazal make a big deal about. This is the one huge distinction between Adam and Noach. Adam was not allowed to eat basar, as opposed to Noach was allowed to eat basar. But the communication, the narrative is identical. It's mamish. It's verbatim. Exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Adam HaRishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then went and he told Noach. Adam HaRishon is the first person in the world. This is what you tell the first person. Noach is Madura Tinyana, the first person in the world. This is what you tell the first person. And that's why the narrative is mamish exact. It's the same narrative. Al Peter Adak. We had a chazer proof. We had a chazer everything. Because really, whatever it was is already null and void. You know, it's interesting. We know there's Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. We learned the sugyas. We're still holding in Masechta Sanhedrin at the very, very end. But we learned the sugyas of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. And one of the kashas that the Welt asks is why are the Sheva Mitzvahs known as Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach? The truth is, Adam Rishon was already Nitzav in the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So if Adam Rishon was Nitzav, so why is it called Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach? So the truth is, the Rambam Perek Tes Hilchos Malachim says that Adam Rishon was only Nitzav on six of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. But Eved Menachai wasn't a gay Adam because Adam wasn't allowed to eat basa, like we just mentioned. And it's for that reason the seventh one was given to Noach. So it's somehow Nikra al Shem Soifai, and it's for that reason it goes down as the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. The Rambam doesn't say that, but that's l'chayra, a very, very simple mahalach. The problem is not everybody agrees with the Rambam. Tosfos and the sugyas of Masechta Sanhedrin, Rashi and Chumash, sounds a little bit not that way. That could be that the Isra Eved Menachai was Negeya, even Adam Rishon. He wasn't allowed to eat Basar, Meis Me'elah, that's not our sugya right now. But if that's the case, so why is it known as the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach? I think this Radak is Meir Einenu in this Indian. Because the Radak said that the Bracha Puruvu of Adam Rishon was null and void. Why was it null and void? Because that was in a different world. If the Bracha was null and void, the Mitzvahs Al-Khair also null and void. It's an Ayavelt. So right now, Noach has to be Nitzav again. There's a new Bria over here. So it's Mistaber that Noach Nochamo gets the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. And by the way, look at the Psukim. Hashem tells Noach, we have him before. You have Shvichas Damim. The point is that it could be that just like the Bracha was not Negei anymore, maybe the Mitzvah was also not Negei anymore. So when we keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, or when B'nai Noach keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, or don't, it's the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. It's not anymore the Sheva Mitzvahs of Adam HaRishon. But again, I think once we start thinking along these lines, it's going to open up a lot of very interesting things. What's the first thing Noach does when he emerges from the table? So the first communication between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Noach is Puruvu. What's the first move that Noach makes? What's the very, very first thing he does? It's a pasuk. Vayiven Noach mizbeach l'Hashem. Vayikach mikol ha-behem ha-tohera, u'mikol ha-oif ha-tar, vayal oilois ba-mizbeach. Vayarach Hashem esreach ha-nichoyach, vayyem Hashem ha-liba lo-yosef ha-kal lo-yidah so-adam ha-bavura adam, etc., etc. First thing that Noach did when he emerged from the table was he brought karbonos, hishloimar, the Rambam, in Hilchas Beis Abchira, Perek Beis Alacha Beis. So he talks about the Makam HaMikdash, the Makam HaMizbeach, Mechuvenu B'Yoyser, and he talks about all the amazing things throughout history that took place in that Makam. One of the things that happened there was, says the Rambam, Ubay Hikrev Adam HaRishon Karban Kishanivra. That's where Adam HaRishon bore the carbon when he was born, Umisham Nivra. So he said over once, for Ameir HaLevi, he said over in the name of his father, Mar Nagriz, that the Biskarov asked, a diktuk in the Lashon HaRambam, this is a real briskadik, Ubay Hikrev Adam HaRishon Karban Kishanivra, obviously Kishanivra. He couldn't have brought it before he was Nivra, and he couldn't have brought it after he was no longer alive. So what does it mean, Ubay Hikrev Adam HaRishon Karban? So the Briskerov said it's Pasha. That what the Rambam means to say is, not that's where Adam HaRishon bore the carbon when he was alive, sometime after he was born. Kishenivra Mamish. As soon as he was born, the first thing he did was he bore the carbon. And the Briskerov said that Yesh Shloim Adapshad is, because we know Ashloisha Dvarim Ha'olam Oymed. And one of them is an Avoida. And Adam HaRishon understood that without Avoida, there can't be a world. So Adam HaRishon was just created, and you need that the world should have a Kiyum. So what's the first thing that he does? He brings Avoida into the world. World. And what's the best way to bring avoida? The real avoida, right? V'hoshev es avoida. The real echta avoida with the hey idea is to bring a carbon. So what's the first thing Adam HaRishon does? He brings a carbon. What's the first thing Noach does? He also brings a carbon. Why? Because it's a new world. And this world, like the Briskerov said, taf haben oichit. It needs that same oimek. So what's he going to do? The first thing you have to do is you have no choice. You have to go ahead. You have to bring a carbon. The pasuk says that Noach lived 350 years after the Mabel. That's what the Pasuk says. And the Pasuk says, how old was Noach when he left this world? He was 950 years old. The Chizkuni asks that if you do the math, it's off. Noach was 600 years old when the Mabel happened. Noach lived 350 years after the Mabel. And Noach was 950 when he died. You're missing 1 year. You're missing the year of the Mabel. How long was Noach in the Mabel? He was there a Shana Tamima, a solar year, Rashi says, right? A lunar year plus the 11 days. But you're missing 1 year. Noach L'chayr should have been 951. Why is he 950? Says the Chizkuni, I quote, Vim Toimer, Varik Sivli, Il B'shnat Sheish Meir Shana L'chayim Noach V'goyim. V'kank Siv Ayichi Noach Achra Mabel Shloish Meir V'chamishim Shana. Im Kei Motzinu Shana Yisera. Eliyei Shloimer says the Chizkuni, Shnas HaMabel Loi Olsa Min HaMinyin Kidamina L'il. You have to say that the Shnas HaMinyin was not Olam HaMinyin. What's Pashem Shad? Why would the Shnas HaMabel not be Olam HaMinyin? That year doesn't count. Why? Why doesn't it count? The Torah says there was no world. Because during that year, the world was Soyev Avayu. And the truth is, we know, the Pasuk already says, the Chazal say, that it was Nishtanes Tidrei Ateva during that year. Right? Instead of the sun rising here and setting there, it went in the reverse. We just learned the Gemara, Sanhedrin, Daf Kuvches. But the point is, there were a lot of Shinuyim in the Sidrei Bereshis. Shnas HaMabel says the Chizkuni is Loi Olsam and Aminyin, because the world at that point is Soyev Avayu, so it doesn't count. Now, you want to know how much Noach lived? Say, so he lived 600 years, fired the Mabel, 350 is Nach the Mabel. Together, it's 950. Either Shnas HaMabel, during that year, it's Eilam HaMinyan. And the truth is, I think there's an oimik here. Because really, when you go through the Psukim, and the Psukim talk about Noach and shame, Fire the Mabel, who cares about the Fire the Mabel, Nach the Mabel? Why is that significant? So Pasha Eiler, right, this Pasha, Vayichi Noach Achra Mabel Shloi Shmei Hashanah V'chamishim Shana. It's a fun fact. There's a lot of fun facts in Parashas Bereishis Noach, right? That's the word. It's a fun fact. I don't think it's a fun fact. Noach really has a different age. His age is, he's 350 years old. Now, if you want to count how many years he lived in this world and how many years he lived in that world, so it's going to be 600 plus 350, you're going to end up with 950 years. But the truth is, there isn't Indian of 350. The gather of the Indian of 350 is 350 after the Mabel, because Nach the Mabel, Setutzuch HaPanayivel. We mentioned in the Daf that the Chasam Sofer wrote in a Ksav Yad. Rav Moshe Shlomiach brings it in his Oitzvus and Parashas Noach. So he had written in a Ksav Yad, quote, Noach ben Shem, Avram ben Chom, Yafta Lekim Liyafes. And the Chasam Sofer explained what he meant by that. Noach ben Shem is based on a Seder Olam that says the Noach lived 340 years after the Mabel, by the time that the Dor HaFlaga came. Meaning, from the time of the Mabel until the Dor HaFlaga, Noach lived 340 years. Meaning, how many years did Noach live from the Mabel until the Dor HaFlaga? He lived 340 years. Avram ben Cham, that's based on the fact that at the time of the Dor HaFlaga, Avram was 48 years old. That's how old he was. At that time, when Noach had lived 340 years, Nach the Mabel, and Avram was 48 years old, it was Yafta Lekim Liyefes, Devisha took the world, and he was Marchevit, and it went from being Dvarim Achadim, and an Am Echad, so to speak, to all of a sudden, now the world is going to be Tzishpreitet. This is what the Chasam Sofer wrote, and Kemuvin, it's very Geschmack, but there has to be a little bit of Oimek here. But Befrat, what does it mean, Noach ben Shem? Noach ben Shem, he wasn't ben Shem. He's not 340 years old. 340 years, Nach the Mabel, was the Dor HaFlaga. That's the remez of Noach ben Shem. It just sounds a little funny. It's a Seder Olam, and that's where the Chasam Sofer is coming from. That he's 340 years, and the Chasam Sofer had a geschmack in this remez. Noach ben Shem, Avram ben Cham, right? Geschmack. But the bottom line is, I think there's a little bit of an oimek, because Lefiza, you can understand it a little bit better. Because really, Noach was 340 years old. Because in this new world, he's a ben Shem. He's Taka ben Shem. He's the same ben Shem that Avram is a ben Cham. Avram's ben Cham, because Avram is Taka 48 years old. Noach is ben Shem, based on on this inyan, because although it's true he's 940 years old, but there's a new cheshbon. The meter starts running all over again from the time of the Mabul. I mean that it starts running all over again. That's this inyan. With this, you can explain Pshat in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Amar Aleph. The pasuk says, "Vayochel noyach isha adama vayita kerem." Amar Rav Chizda, Amar Rav Ukva, Vami Lomar Ukva, Amar Rav Zakkai. Amar Leakadosh Baruch Hu noyach. Akadosh Baruch Hu told noyach. Noyach lo yihoyu lechalul moed may adam arishon shloi garam loy halayayin. Noyach. He was asa atzmoi chulum. When the first thing he did when he emerged from the table was he planted a kerem. Why? You said Akadosh Baruch Hu to Noyach. Noyach, you should have learned from Adam. Adam did that, and it didn't work out. Why are you repeating the same mistake? Now, where do you find that Adam did it and it didn't work out? Says the Gemara, Kamando Amar, Oysa Ilan, Sha'ach, Limenu, Adam Arishin, Geffen, Hoyo. The Tanya, Tzimachloik, as well as the Eitzadas, according to Madama that says it was a Geffen, he made the same mistake. What's the Oymik in this Gemara? The Oymik in this Gemara is Hashem's not just telling Noyach, why is this the first thing that you did? Lo Yehoyu Lecha Lilmaid, May Adam Arishon, why didn't you learn from Adam Arishon? Well, what's the beer? Adam Arishon is the first person to ever live. And he went ahead and the first thing he did was a geffen. And from that, he had the Chet Eretz Hadas. He was thrown out of Gan Eden until 1,656 years later, the world devolved to a point where the world had to go back to Soyev Avayu. Atke Dekach, the Eibush had to start the world all over again. So Zok the Eibush to Tanoich, I'm starting the world all over again. I'm starting it through you. You're going to repeat the same mistake that your predecessor made? How could you make the same mistake? When I created the world, Madura Kamo, all the problems started from a geffen. So now I'm creating a Madur Tinyon. At the very least, let's learn from our mistake. Don't go ahead and don't repeat the same thing that you did. In other words, it's not punked Adam Arishin, right? Adam Arishin, maybe you should have learned from Avram Avinu. You should have learned from the Chazon Ish. No, it's Adam Daika. Adam is the first person to ever live. You're also the first person to live in this new world. That's the Oymik. You should have learned from Adam Arishin Daika. I think it's so clear. Another Marmok. Again, we spoke out a lot of these things in the Shir. And that is, the Gemara says, in Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Tzadik Tes, the Gemara over there is discussing how long is Yemois HaMashiach going to be. The Gemara brings Brais after Brais and Machlokes HaMayram, eight different shittas. How long Yemois HaMashiach is going to be? Omer Rav Yehuda Mashmul, you want to know how long Yemois HaMashiach is going to be? Ki miyoyim shenivra oyim ad achshav. It's going to be, so if Mashiach would come today, it will be 5,785 years. It's going to be from Brias Olam till today. As I said, Rav Yehuda Mashmul, based on a pasuk, "Ki mei Hashemayim al Arth." The man Yirbu Yemeich Vimei Benechem al Adama Shnish B'Hashem Laviseichem Lasei Islayim. That's Yemois HaMashiach, and it's going to be "Ki mei Hashemayim al Arth." Nachman by Yitzchak Amar. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak said, "Ki mei Noach Adachshav." It's not from the time of Brios Olam Adachshav, but it's "Ki mei Noach Adachshav." Shenemer "Ki mei Noach," as the pasuk says, "Ki mei Noach Zoy Sli Hashem Nishbati." What's pshat Rav Nachman by Yitzchak? Rav Nachman, it's a funny pshat, "Ki mei Noach," because he's going al Pidarko Yisrael Rav Yehuda Mashmul, that Yemois HaMashiach is going to be Kimei HaShemayim Al Haaretz. But the question is, what is the Kimei HaShemayim Al Haaretz? Is it from Bereish Nisbar Lekim Eis HaShemayim Ve'Eis Haaretz? Or is it from Noach? What are the two tzadim? Mitzarecha, the world came into existence, Adam Arishon. But then again, the world went back to Soyu Vavoyu. And then the world had to be Chayzev and Eir. And when was the world Chayzev and Eir? It was Chayzev and Eir Bimei Noach. And that's the Machloikas. That is the two tzadim. Am Rav Yehuda Mashmul, it's from Brias Olam. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak says, no, I think it goes not from the Madura Kam of the Welt, it's from the Madura Tinyon of the Welt. And the Madura Tinyon of the Welt is Noyach, and that is Kimei HaShemayim Al Haaretz, because the world that was previous, already went back to Soyev Avayu. But the bottom line is, what we're seeing over here is, and it's Mefurish in the Radak, and it has a tremendous, I think, Tosefes beer from the Medrash that the Rajba brings in his Pirush HaGadol and Brachos Dav Zayin. And I think it opens up so many different psukim, literally, and different chazals, is that the gather of Noach after the Mabul was not stam that he was a survivor of a world that was. He was the patriarch. He was the founding member of a world that was going to be. And this new world was the Schadish. This new world started through Noach, which gives us an even deeper appreciation of the Mishnah Novice that says Asara Doiros Me Adam Noach. It's not just that Adam Arishon was the Av Roish L'chol HaNevram Acharav, and then Noach as the survivor would end up being the same thing. It's much deeper than that. The world started from Adam Arishon, and the world started from Noach. Madura Kama of the world, Keilu, started from Adam Arishon. That world became Soyev Avayu, and then the world started again through Noach. But the point is, Lefi Anal, Ula Yesh Loimer, and again, this is way above my pay grade, but Ula Yesh Loimer, that's Pshat in the Gemara. in the Mishnah, in Mesechtes Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. The Mishnah says that the Dor HaMabul are not going to have a chelik in Olam Haba, and not just that, they're also in Oymed B'Din. As opposed to the Dor HaFlaga, they're not going to have a chelik in Olam Haba, but they're going to be Oymed B'Din. Now we said, first of all, what does it even mean? Or why would it be that the Dor HaMabul would not be Oymed B'Din? And the frat, maish no the Dor HaMabul that are not Oymed B'Din, and the Dor HaFlaga are going to be Oymed B'Din. But yesh lo Oymed B'Shares, because we spoke out from the Ramban and Shar HaGemul and Simir Reish Aleph, that Ramban says, what does it mean? Yeah, Oymed B'Din, not Oymed B'Din. It's referring to the Yoyim HaGodov HaNoira, the second din v'cheshbon that every person is going to have to give in the end of days. You know, we've mentioned many times in the Chabura that why is it that at the end of days, man's going to have to give din v'cheshbon again? Person dies, he gives din v'cheshbon. So why do you have to give din v'cheshbon again? Dear, whenever it's going to be. Every single person that ever lived is going to have to rise from his grave and give nochat din v'cheshbon. So the Brisker Rav, and this is the last Brisker Rav in Sefer Al HaTorah, he says, V'dover zeh shamati kam upomim mi pi adoini ovi moiri v'rabi hagoyin achosi zeh chesadik levrocha ki yoyim hadin hagodol hu soif kol hachesbonos. The reason there's going to be a yoyim hadin in the end of days, and the reason that yoyim hadin will have to be in the end of days is because the end of days is going to be Seif Kala Cheshboinus. And the Prescribe brings the whole Arichas for Reb Chaim. The Reb Chaim explained that really a person is not only judged for what it is that he did or didn't do during his lifetime. A person is judged for the Hashpois that he had on other people and on other things. L'toiv Oylamutov during his lifetime. And really, after a person dies, although there's a din v'cheshbon, but it's an inconclusive din v'cheshbon, because you don't really know what the outcome and what the toitzah of this person is going to be it through his children, be it through his grandchildren, be it through his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren, be it through talmidim, be it through people that he knew, people that he influenced. He was a role model for something, whatever it might be. And again, for the good or the bad. But the point is that really, you can't judge a person conclusively after he dies because the ledger is still out, right? The books have not been reconciled yet. And as a result, there's no way to have a final tally. It's tough at the end of days, Reb Chaim said, when the world is going to come to an end, where it's going to be gamarnu, kaput. At that point, there's going to be soif kala cheshbonos, and all the accountants are going to go, and they're going to reconcile the books, and they're going to deliver it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look at the P&Ls, and he's going to look at the numbers, and he's going to say, yes, habich, soif kala cheshbonos, and as a result, now let's go ahead and let's make another Yom HaGadol. It's not punk, the second Yom HaDin. It's a Yom HaDin that's necessary, because the first one is inconclusive, and it's not punk. Ba'achris Hayomim. It has to be Ba'achris Hayomim. Because until Achris Hayomim, it's Vaita, not Soif Kalachish Boinus. And if it's not Soif Kalachish Boinus, it's for that reason it won't be Shaykh. But the Yisoid of the Oym de Bedin, the Yisoid of that other Yoyim HaGadol HaNoira that the Ramban talks about at length in his Shaar HaGemul is because Achris Hayomim is going to be Soif Kalachish Boinus, and it's then and only then that you're going to be able to do this Indian. Is the Fizeh Yesh Loimar, the Dor HaMabul, they lived. They did what they did, but their world came to an end. It came to an end. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Mabul, he didn't just punish the Anshei Dor HaMabul. He returned the world to Soyev Avayu. That world is finished. Gamarnu. If that's the case, that means that when the Eibush to judge and the Eibush to punish the Dor HaMabul, it was Soyev Kalachish Bainas. Because that world was finished. That world would have no hemshech. And the hashpois that they had on the world was gone. It was finished. Because the world came to an end. Now through Noach, the Eibush started a new world. Then the world has no sheiches anymore to the Anshei Dor HaMabul. Isn't Noach the shirayim of that world? No. Noach is a bria chadosha. Noach ben shame by the Dor HaFlaga, like the Chassam Sofer says. Noach lived 350 years noach the Mabul. Because really there's a Noach who lives in this Dor and that Dor. By the way, maybe an oymek in Noach ish tzaddik, he mamish lived in two worlds. But the bottom line is that that world no longer existed. And because that world was finished, so when the Eibush to punish the Dor HaMabul, it was the Soif Kala Cheshbonos. So there's no reason for them to be Oymed B'Din Ba'achris Hayom. Oh, but the Dor HaFlaga came in the world for Noch the Mabul. The Dor HaFlaga is in the world, Noch HaMabul. They're part of the world. We live in the same world that the Anshei Dor HaFlaga lived in. We don't live in the same world that the Anshei Dor HaMabul lived in. The Anshei Dor HaMabul's world ended. And when they were punished, it was Soif Kala Cheshbonos. There's no need for them to have another Yom HaGadol HaNoira. But we do live in the same world as the Anshei Dara Flaga. Umi Yodea, if there's something we're doing today or not doing today that has a shaykhis to the Anshei Dara Flaga, and it's for that reason the Anshei Dara Flaga are going to be Oymed B'Din. Because their Soif Kala Cheshbon is their ledger is still not complete. And that's why they need that Yoyim HaGadol V'Anoyer, like Reb Chaim said. And that's why the Anshei Dara Mabul Ein Lam Chelik Loilam Haba Ein Oymed B'Din, as opposed to the Anshei Dara Flaga are Ein Lam Chelik Loilam Haba, they're going to be Oymed B'Din. Again, this is a big Yisoid. It's a complete paradigm shift. I think it opens up our Einayim to just understand Noyach and his generation and the Dera Mabel with more mature, with more mevugadigger havana, and with a deeper appreciation. Me'enei aseichel. Either way, I think there's a certainly karim divrei emes. It's rooted in rishonim. It comes from the Radak. Al zeh nemar tein lechacham v'yech gemoy. I have a funny feeling this is going to be the gift that keeps on giving, and we will be'ezus Hashem stop here. We're going to shift topics. In the daf, it's time to prepare for Pesach. As it relates to Chumash here, at some point we're going to start Parshas Lech Lecha Be'ezer Hashem. But for now, we're going to leave it at this.